Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. You know, it's funny. Every attempt to push us towards a paperless world, or at the very least a paperless office, is often met with more paper. Oddly enough, entire books have been written, on paper, about going paperless. Sometimes we talk about it in the context of saving trees, or preserving the environment, or maybe it's about efficiency, or digital portability, or something like that. The thing is, the paperless office has proven to be largely a myth. Heck, when you go to get a soda at the local convenience store, you generate paper. Even if you don't take the receipt, one is printed for you as a matter of course. More than that, the paperless world was supposed to save us from disorganized file cabinets, flyers on desks, papers stacked high with information buried inside that's hard to find. And while it's worked in some ways, take a look at your own digital life and tell me, can you really find everything? I don't know about you, but I've got digital files and images and documents going back for years, and there's plenty I have to leaf through before I find the thing that I'm actually looking for. My digital files can be just as big a mess as my physical, paper-based files. Besides, what's wrong with paper? It's lightweight, portable, goes anywhere, comes in all shapes and sizes, works with a variety of input devices, and it archives pretty well too. Because I'm the Cyberpunk Librarian, it sometimes surprises people that I carry, use, and recommend an honest-to-goodness paper notebook. It's filled with stuff from meeting notes to show notes to a phone number I needed to remember, and the basic stuff you'd expect to find in a notebook. It's not searchable via a browser or a command line interface, but you know what? I can find anything I need to in it, and I bet you could too. Because when I set up a notebook, I make sure I can find the information later. It's all part of a simple, easy-to-use system. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, episode 37, Dead Trees and Graphite. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood Cyberpunk Librarian, welcoming you back to the show that explores the intersection of libraries and technology, and it's all about living that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, all of you outside and in between. Cyberpunk Librarian returns to the airwaves and to the fiber after a long, rather unplanned hiatus. There were several changes in the world around my life, my job, and things in general. Nothing bad at all, but my days got filled and my nights were busy, and I just did not have the time I normally do to sit down and write anything. See, Cyberpunk Librarian is a mostly scripted show, and I say mostly because I allow myself to wander around and go off script, but I try not to waste your time and I try to keep the show succinct. If it's short, well, that's fine, but if it's long, at least you're not listening to me just drone on. Anyway, I have some catch-up to do here and there, but today we are rolling low-tech in one of the lowest-tech ways to roll low-tech. We're going to talk about notebooks, and I don't mean notebook computers, I mean paper. Beautiful, lovely paper that you write on with either a crystalline semi-metal or a pigmented paste substance that gives color to surfaces. And yes, I just tried to make pencils and pens sound scientific and somewhat technical. Sorry about that. It sometimes surprises people that for all of my talk about digital note-taking, I still carry around a notebook and several mechanical pencils. Sure, I'm a cyberpunk librarian, but I'm also a huge advocate of open source, transparency, and right tool for the job ideas. Sometimes the right tool for the job is paper and a pen or pencil. Okay. A lot of us use notebooks. Big deal. We write stuff down. Sure, yeah. Who cares? Well, let me challenge you to something. Go grab a notebook from last year and find something important you wrote down in it. Say, grab a notebook from last year and find those notes from a meeting or your presentation ideas for that conference that you spoke at. Can you? I bet most of you can't. That's because when it comes to notebooks, most of us do it wrong. We write down a bunch of stuff, review it perhaps once or twice, and then we either lose the notebook entirely or we toss it out when it's full. And that's fine. That's fine if that works for you. But let me offer you a better way and see if it might be worthwhile. You won't have to buy anything new, and you won't have to change a whole bunch of behaviors. And you don't have to do any or all of this stuff, of course. But I can walk over to a shelf right now, and with just a bit of looking, I can find a notebook that has notes from a DJ gig I did last year. And if you had access to my tools, you could do the same thing with my notebooks. Okay, so let's do that thing that we normally do and break the show up into two parts, with the first part being tools and the second being technique. Of course, the tools are pretty simple, but there are a couple of things to talk about. And the technique, well, there's a funny and embarrassing story behind that, so stick around. Oh, and spoiler alert, the technique doesn't involve taking a lot of pictures or scanning your notebook so you can search for it in Evernote or OneNote. I mean, you can if you want to, but wow, that seems like a lot of work. So let's not do a lot of work and try and keep things simple. Cool? Ready? Okay, let's do this, and hey, welcome back to the show. Be wondering, what in the heck are we going to talk about when it comes to tools and using a paper notebook? What more can there be besides a notebook and something to write with? And you know what? You're right. 90% of your needs are totally fulfilled with a notebook and a pen or pencil. There's a bit more to it than that, though, so bear with me for just a few minutes. I'm not going to get into the whole debate of what the best notebook is in the entire world. I will go on record, however, as saying that if you truly believe that Hemingway and Picasso and Oscar Wilde wrote their notes and thoughts in a Moleskine notebook, then allow me to point out the awesome power of marketing and the fact that the Moleskine company was founded in 1997. Moleskine notebooks are wonderful. I like them. But I also like Piccadilly, Black and Red, Field Notes, and cheap-ass me notebooks that you can pick up for less than $2. You can find links in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast for all of those brands I just mentioned, including the cheap notebook by Mead. And yes, I am dead serious about that. I am not the kind of person who gets into the sensual experience of writing with an expensive fountain pen on silky smooth paper. Indeed, I actually kind of like the opposite, because I like the slight friction of pencil on paper. The takeaway is this: find a notebook that you like and one that you can afford. Paper, for the most part, is paper. Me, I'm currently using a Piccadilly Pocket Memo medium size. They come in packs of three or something for like $10, I believe it was. I believe I got it from Barnes & Noble. I checked Amazon, and the ratings are low for reasons like crooked lines across the pages and sloppy corner rounding. Well, whatever, it works. I'll probably buy something different next time, because something else will probably be on sale. Anyway, the size of this notebook is perfect for me. I can put it in my back pocket or in my backpack. It's larger than a pocket notebook, you know, like a reporter's notebook, but it's smaller than a letter-size notebook. I believe it's closer to A5-sized paper, if that means anything to you. The point is, it's the right size for me, and you should find the right size for you. You might want a smaller one, or you might want a big notebook. It's not that important, so long as you get the one that works best for you. Writing implements, that's another thing that people can really obsess over. Some folks want to write with a luxury fountain pen, hand-filled with the finest India ink. Or at the very least, a precise rolling ball pen with smooth ink that dries quickly on the page. I use a Bic mechanical pencil. It came in a bag of 10 for like $4. My friends, I don't buy expensive pencils and pens for the same reason I don't buy expensive sunglasses and headphones. All I'm going to do is wind up losing it, and then I need to buy a new one. If I lose my luxury $40 fountain pen, then I'm out $40 and I need to go replace my luxury pen. If I lose my Bic mechanical pencil, I'm out, let's see here, $4 divided by, carry the 1, log 10, multiplied by the gravitational constant, 40 cents. And you know what? It writes really well. And I have 9 more of them ready to go. So if I lose one, I go back to the bag and I get another one. Okay, so let's talk about pens and pencils for a second. Almost all the time, I write in my notebook using that Bic mechanical pencil. It's always sharp, it writes pretty easily, and with handwriting like mine, it pays to be able to erase. My handwriting is horrible. I swear, you can read my Japanese handwriting far better than you can my English. Either way, I keep it somewhat legible, and if I make an oops, well, I can erase it instead of just crossing it out or scratching it out or otherwise making a mess on the page. I do carry a couple of pens, however, and there are a couple of good reasons to do so. The first goes back to that transparency and open source stuff I mentioned. Now, it may sound weird to think about a paper notebook in terms of transparency and open source, but this idea came to me after listening to a podcast with Chicago Sun-Times reporter Andy Anatko, and he once mentioned on the podcast that the reason he still uses a pen and notebook is because as a reporter, a source or company can always question you on your digital notes. You might have changed something. Their PR rep didn't say that. You wrote it down wrong. You changed something. You altered the record. You know, it's actually really hard to change ink on paper. It's really hard to change ink on paper without looking like you changed it. Once you write that ink on that paper, you pretty much have to destroy it to get rid of it. So for those few times I really need a good record of what was said, done, noted, and so on, ink on paper, that's all I use. Thankfully, that doesn't happen very often. I mean, I'm not in that situation on a regular basis. Most of the time, cheapo mechanical pencil and me, we're doing just fine. Oh, and for those who do want to know what kind of pen I use, it's a, it's a Luxor, yeah, L-U-X-O-R. Luxor retractable ballpoint? You know, the clicky kind? I have no idea where I got this thing. If you do happen to be one of those people who gets excited by fancy pens and notebooks, that's great! I don't know if you've checked it out, but there's a podcast on the Relay FM network called Pen Addict that has your name all over it. I'll pop the link in the show notes, but if that is your thing, then this is your podcast. It's got a couple guys that are really into really nice pens and paper. I tried listening to it, and it's not bad. It's just not my thing. Okay, so notebook and writing tools. You need those to keep a notebook, obviously. But there's a little extra thing I do, besides the technique, and that's a very simple database. Now wait. Some people might be scared by the word database and start thinking SQL Server or MySQL or something like that. No. I said simple. You can't get much more simple than a text file. And that's all it is. I've got mine dumped in a cloud drive. OneDrive in this case, and that way I can get to it anywhere on pretty much any device. We'll get into that more later, but the database is searchable with a command or control F. I mean, you can make a better, more complex one. I'm not going to stop you, but I don't recommend it unless you really, really need that for some reason or another. All right, so final word on tools. You need a notebook that you like, and something that you like to write with, and a text file. And you might want to put that text file on a cloud drive like Dropbox, OneBox, iCloud Drive, OwnCloud, whatever. I think that's about as easy as you can get, which makes sense. This is an easy thing to do using a notebook. People have been doing this for centuries. but let's see if I can help you make it better with a little technique. When it comes to notebook usage, I work from the outside in. You can doodle up your cover or draw pictures on it or even take notes on the cover as you please. However, you're going to save yourself some work later on if you make a note on the front cover of your name so you can identify the notebook and the dates that it covers. So if you started a notebook on May 5th, 2015, well, write that on the cover. Then when you filled that notebook and you're ready to stick it on the shelf, write the final date on the cover, whatever that might be. Basically, that's your title. Unless you're running multiple notebooks, which some do, I suppose, that title should be fairly unique. So in a few months, if you have to reference that notebook again, it'll be ready and easy to find because that date range is prominently written on the cover. Okay, I promised you an embarrassing story, and I don't want to disappoint. This is not a thrilling tale of high embarrassment, but it did make me cringe a bit. So the technique I'm going to talk about was something that I was absolutely certain I'd come up with. It was a thing I discovered mostly by accident when I'd let a pen rest far too long on the edge of a page, and the ink flowed from the pen and bled into the paper. I'd done that before, no big deal. It didn't make a mess. But then I remembered that I'd done that on that page, and when I needed to go look that thing back up again later, it was a mark I could easily find. It was also a mark I could make anywhere and move it around to mark certain things. Why not index the notebook using the marks then? Use them like index tabs. I was so happy. This is cool, I thought as I shared it with a few people over the years. And then earlier this year, I read an article on the excellent High Five blog about how a Japanese salaryman was using this technique. And in fact, it's kind of a common thing to do in Japan. Oh. Oops. Now, weirdly enough, I have a degree in the history of Japanese pop culture. It's highly probable that I might have read about this somewhere and subconsciously, quote-unquote, invented it, but I really don't remember doing that. It was such an accidental thing that I don't think anything ever played into my adoption of it. I'm going to pop that article into the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, and you should check it out. It's really good. While I do things a little differently than they recommend, there isn't a thing wrong with their method. I've already spoiled the central idea, using an ink stain on the edge of the page to tag a particular subject or thing. I go by the lines on the page and tag in between them. It makes for a consistent spot and easy indexing as you go. You might want to carry around a post-it or two just so you can put that underneath so it doesn't bleed onto the page underneath or something like that, but that's up to you. Now, you might have a lot of things to tag and wind up using a tag on the same location for different things. It happens. And for that, I recommend that you use a smaller notebook, and by smaller in this case, I mean ones without a huge number of pages. I don't think I've carried a notebook with more than 100 pages since I graduated. I'm pretty sure these Piccadilly notebooks that I just mentioned, I think they have only 80 pages, which is more than enough for quite a while. The idea here is simple. If you don't have a lot of space to fill with so much stuff, then you're kind of less likely to have to repeat a tagged position. Beyond that, if you do find yourself reusing a tag, try and make sure the tags are as disconnected as possible. If you have a tag for Italian recipes, and you don't want to use the same one for Chinese recipes, well, for example, I have one for Italian recipes because I love to eat Italian, and another for a website that I want to check out. So if I use those two, you can tell at a quick glance which page is, what you're actually looking at, because Italian recipes look quite a bit different than URLs. Right, okay, so we're tagging our page edges, but how to index that? Well, at the back of every notebook I'm going to use for extended runs anyway, I have two things. I have an index and I have a tag index. Rather than take a picture of my notebook, check out that article I just mentioned. He's got a really good picture of his notebook that shows how this trick works. You take a blank page and where your pages are marked, write down the tag. So if you use the top line to tag meeting notes, you'd write meeting notes on the top line of your tag index. Make sense? And then there's the index that I just mentioned. I also put that in the back because, to me, that's where the index goes. If you want to put it in the front, go right ahead. Along with tagging the pages as I need to, and keeping in mind that you don't have to tag everything, just the things that you want to tag, I number the pages at the top corners. It may sound a bit redundant to create what is essentially two indexes, but hear me out for a second. The tagged index is very general. Look at the subject sort of, you know, quick kind of thing. It helps you find subjects. It's general, and that means it's not always precise. So going back to the meeting notes, I've got several pages of meeting notes, but what about that web team meeting on September 21st? What about that chat I had with the services team last week? Where's that? Well, I could leaf through the tags until I find it, or I can just check the index. It'll tell me what page it's on. See? One is a general and quick reference, and the other is precise. Like the tags, I don't index absolutely everything. Those hex codes I needed to jot down to remember them for more than 5 minutes won't be all that important next week. I'm probably not going to bother indexing that. But if I think something might be at all important later on, the last thing I do when I'm done taking those notes is just quickly pop them into the index. It's literally just one more line of notes. And finally, the index of indexes, the almighty text file. So my initial thought was to update that text file when I needed to, maybe once a week, maybe whenever I updated the index of the notebook I'm currently working on. Maybe I'll do it when... Okay, look, I do it last, all right? Don't look at me with judgment in your eyes. It's the last thing I do before putting the notebook on the shelf. I try and do it more often than that, but I just don't. I'm sorry. There's a really good chance that I won't need those notebooks very much, and I admit that, but... they've saved my butt on more than one occasion. And I don't save them all. I'm not one of those who has a notebook collection running back over the years. I typically keep them for a couple years, maybe 5 at the most, and then I weed the collection. If I haven't needed that notebook in 3 to 5 years, I don't need it. But I always check that index just to make sure before I throw it out, because... the index, database, and text file is simply me typing the index at the back of the notebook and saving that file. It doesn't take long. I mean, usually the index is maybe a page in an 80-page notebook. You could do more. You could probably do a lot more. I've heard of people scanning their notebooks into like Evernote and OneNote or their own personal system and tagging them digitally. Me, I'm thankful that I don't have to live such an exciting life. I recall that Evernote actually has a notebook that they'll sell you and a service to do this for you. But I have a huge hang-up with sending the only copy of my notes through the mail to a large company. It seems like there are so many places along the way that it could get lost or mishandled or just wind up someplace it shouldn't. If there's personal notes in there, do I really want to send that through the mail? Do I really want to send, you know, that kind of detail to whoever to look at? I don't know. I'm a little leery of that. Besides, if it gets lost anywhere, notes are gone. Should I scan them before I send them to be scanned? No. I'm not going to do any of that. If you want to, go right ahead. I promise I won't judge you as long as you don't judge me for doing the notebook index before I put the notebook away. But granted, there's no backup mechanism at my house either. I mean, if my house burns down, I lose the notes that way too. But you know what? That's fine. They're useful. They're great tools. They're occasionally interesting. But they're far from being the most important possession that I own. So, If you're using a notebook and you have to flip through page after page after page to find those notes from last week or last month or, God forbid, last year, you might give this a try. There's very little work involved at all. All you're really doing is just sort of taking notes on your notes, which I admit is a bit meta. But I can find the information I need when I need it. And that, my friends, is at the heart of cyberpunk librarian philosophy. And that about wraps up another episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. Thank you so much for tuning back into the show after a long hiatus. Hopefully, the hiatus is totally over and I should be back on my normal schedule of every 2 weeks. Every other Monday, we drop an episode of Cyberpunk Librarian talking about the intersection of libraries and technology and living the high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. So by all means, if you have a comment or something like that, drop it in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, where you can pick up the show notes for this episode and check out all of the other episodes of the show from earlier on. The song that you're digging on right now is Sands of Time by Psychedelic Pedestrian. Earlier in the show, you heard Convalescence 2, Love Again by Anima, and Zahn by Gorowski. I have links to those in the show notes. You can pick up those songs from the Free Music Archive, which has some great music. If you're looking for something new, something you've never heard on the radio before, check out the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. Cyberpunk Librarian itself is hosted by the Internet Archive at archive.org. Great people doing great things. I really thank them so much for their work because, as a librarian, archiving stuff is really near and dear to my heart. So check out the archive if you haven't recently. They've got some great stuff. They've got great podcasts like this one, far better than this one. And, you know, there's just some great stuff. If you're looking to browse around the web and, you know, you're tired of looking at Wikipedia, try archive.org. It's pretty cool. But for now, let's bring this show to a close. If you want to contact me, I heartily suggest you do so. I'd love hearing from you. If you have a show idea or you have a question or something like that, you can reach me through various social mediums like Twitter. I am at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's like librarian, but with a B. You can also find me on Google+. I am google.com/+DanielMesser. Or if you prefer the old-school SMTP methodology of communication, you can always hit me up at cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. I would love hearing from you for whatever you would like to bounce off of me, show ideas, if you have questions, if you want to take me to task for something, I would love to hear from you. Share the show with your friends, too, if you know a technologically-minded librarian or just a run-of-the-mill geek that might enjoy the show, by all means, pass it on. I would really appreciate it. But for now, it's time to get out of here. I will see you again in 2 weeks, and this time I really mean it because I have got scripts in various stages of completion, which should mean good things for the future, as I now have a lead on what's going to be going on here fairly soon. So for now, thank you for tuning in. My name is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian, reminding you that you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care now.